But this morning I want to talk about, it's all about us. It's all about us, the importance of the church. What is so important about the church? You know, I'd like to think about that, the importance of the church. You know, I'd like I have very deep convictions about the church and the importance of it. And when you understand my convictions about the church, then you'll understand the decisions that I make sometimes. Decisions are basically made on four different motivations. Number one, it's circumstances. What's happening around me? That means that sometimes we make decisions on the basis of the situation we find ourselves in, right? Number two, it's out of convenience. We like that, right? What is easy? Sometimes we make our decisions on what is easy, and sometimes we make a decision because what we choose to do is simpler. We can do things the hard way if we choose to, but sometimes there's easier ways to do it, right? And that statement that we've heard many times before, work hard, work smarter, not harder, right? We believe that. I do. I try to practice that one. It doesn't always work out. Sometimes things are just hard, right? No matter what. Number three is the critics around you. Let me tell you, what do other people think? We're often influenced by other opinions, and so we make decisions based on that. You know, our convictions, a deeply held belief. You know, that's what our convictions is. And, you know, let me say this, is a conviction is not held in the same way as an opinion. Because an opinion is something you will argue about. And a conviction is something that you'll die for. And it's been said that if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Amen? Everything changes. Everything changes. Fads, fashions, and even science textbooks change. The only thing that doesn't change is the truth. The truth, by its nature, does not change. Amen? Amen? True is the grass withers and the flowers fade, but our God's word stands firm and forever. Amen. It says that in Isaiah 40, verse 8. You know, my convictions about the church come from the Bible. And it is our source of authority for what we do. And if you understand these convictions, you will understand three things in your life. You will understand why we do what we do in the church. You'll understand why we will be criticized. You'll understand why everyone will be criticized. But I would rather be criticized for following God's word than for any other reason. Amen. Number three, you'll understand the standard that we should use for making decisions about the church. We do. We make decisions solely upon what the Word of God says, or we should. My number one conviction is this, that Jesus loves His church. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus loves His church, and I'm absolutely convinced of that, without a shadow of a doubt, that Christ loves the church. And in fact, that's what the Bible says. It says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her. Amen? Amen? Circle that if you have your Bibles open this morning, that God gave Himself for it. Amen? He gave Himself for it. And often we say that Christ died for my sins, and He did. He died for me, and He did die for you, but that is not what this verse says. This verse says that Christ died. He sacrificed Himself. He gave Himself for who? The church. He died for the church. And that is how important Christ considers His church. And Jesus loves the church. Amen? In 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Amen. If you look at that scripture, circle us. Because that's the us. You know, I said, it's all about us. And then let me ask you a question. Who is us? Amen. Who is us? Us is the church. Amen. That's who it is. Jesus laid down His life for us. So really, it is all about us. Amen. Because Christ loves us. He died for us. He died for the church. Amen. Isn't that wonderful to think? It is really all about you. That means everyone. I'm going to tell you, it means everyone. It doesn't matter whether you're black, white, blue, purple, pink. I don't care what color of your hair you have. It doesn't matter. Christ died for you. Amen. He died because He loved you. Right. And He wants you to be a part of His church. Right. Amen. Amen. I get tired of, and that's not even in my notes, but I get tired of people talking about race. I get tired of it. Race has nothing to do with it. Amen.
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 Can't help the way I was born. I've tried. Mama tried. I can't help it. I am who I am. Why? Because that's the way God made me.
If the media would shut up about it,
it's cool. Amen. We got
to
listen to the right people and not the wrong things, right? Listen, Christians that say I love Christ but don't need to be involved in the church are really immature people. I don't mean that to be harsh, but they don't get it. They just don't get it because I talk to people all the time and I try to tell them how important church is and I try to tell them that we need you in the church and they look at you like, oh, you know, I can, you know, I believe in God. I mean, I know where I'm going. I like Christ. I love Christ. There's something I do with Christ. But man, let me tell you, if you're going to be like Christ, then you're going to love the church like Christ loved the church. And that means you're going to want to be with Christ's people.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Come on now. I got goosebumps on me this morning. I don't know why. I really do. I'm not cold. Scary, right? You know, I wonder how some just don't get it since we're going to live together forever in heaven. We are. Can't we just get along while we're here? It's not enough to love God. You must love the church too. We must love what Christ loves. And personally, I want to be a part of Christ. That means I must be where Christ is. I must be involved in what Christ is involved in. And I look at this verse here in Matthew 16, 18. I will build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Amen.
Amen.
You know, this verse, I understand that Jesus is actively involved in building His church. He's bringing them in. He's building them up and He's training them up and He is sending them out. Amen. What is a church? Look at here in Matthew 18, 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. That's what the church is. The church is God's people, and that is us. And I'm convinced that He loves us. Amen? Are you convinced of that this morning? My number two conviction is Jesus wants unity in the church. Amen? He wants unity in the church. No, you know, I'll tell you, no family's perfect. Every family is dysfunctional. And some are more dysfunctional than others. Amen?
Amen.
But no matter how dysfunctional your family is, you need to stick together with them. You need to stick up for them. Amen?
Amen.
Love is more important than politics. Hear me this morning. We could get focused on politics and all this other garbage, but that stuff's meaningless. It really is. Our love for Christ is what means most. Christ loves me, and I love you. We love each other, and we stick together because we're one family. Amen. Love is more important than little differences. 1 Corinthians 13 says this, though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. You know, did you notice the first three verses in that chapter? You know that 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you know what it's all about? It's the entire chapter is about unity in the church, is what it's about. Paul describes how the church is the body of Christ and that every member of the body is important. Every member is needed and every member has a function and needs to work together. Then Paul continues in his discussion and says, God desires us to love one another. Amen? We must love one another. We are not in a competition with each other, and we're on the same team. I'm just one of the members here. Amen? I'm just doing what God told me to do. We're not enemies of each other. We're in the same army, and there's an enemy out there, and we know that. Satan is out there. Satan was a murderer. It says in John 8:44, it says, he was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Satan is the one we need to be fighting against. Amen? Paul even says, we don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against powers and principalities. We fight against something unseen. Not each other. Did you know that there are five times in the New Testament where God tells Christians not to argue with each other? One example here in 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, I have a serious concern to bring up with you, my friends, using the authority of Jesus, our Master. I'll put it as urgently as I can. You must get along with each other. You must learn to be considerate of one another, cultivating a life in common. That's the Message Bible's translation there of 1 Corinthians. God loves unity. In John 17:29, Jesus' prayer says that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Amen? Unity. He wants unity. The world will be one when the church is one. Amen? When we come together as one, that's when we can win people to Christ. Amen? There's a warning, though. Watch out for those who cause disunity. Paul talks about that much. Romans 16:17, he says, one final word of counsel, friends. Keep a sharp eye out for those who take bits and pieces of the teaching that you learned and then use them to make trouble. Give these people a wide berth. In other words, don't have anything to do with them. The proper way we should react to one another is in love. Amen. John 13:35 says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Amen. Jesus wants unity. Conviction number three, the church will last forever. Amen. The church will last forever. Governments will not last. Nations will not last. My body will not last. Businesses do not last. The Roman Empire is gone. The Berlin Wall fell down. The Soviet Union is gone. And America will not last forever. Amen. Amen? America will not be here forever. But God's Word will. Amen? God is on the throne and He'll always be on the throne. Amen. Matthew 16:18 says this, I will put together my church, a church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. I like that translation. The entire universe was created for God's family. You know that? What is His family called? His family's called the church. Amen. God created us to spend eternity with Him, and that was God's plan from the beginning of time. The church will be in heaven. Christ died to save the church, and even the angels are amazed at God's plan. Amen? Did you know that? It's in the Scripture. Ephesians 3:10, though Christians like yourselves gathered in churches, this extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and talked about it even among the angels. Wow. We live to serve God. We live to serve God's plan, and God's plan is the church. We live to serve the church. Amen? Amen. We live to serve each other. You know, when I make decisions, I have to make decisions concerning the church, and I've got to always ask myself, what's best for the church? It's not about what's best for Randy. It's what's best for the church. Always. What's best for Ananias? I want this church to be healthy. Amen, don't you? I want this church to be thriving, to be growing, to be a place where God is worshiped freely. Amen? Where we have real heartfelt fellowship with one another. Where people are growing in their understanding of Scriptures, and where people are using their spiritual gifts and God-given abilities for the glory of God. Where members are so excited about their relationship with Christ, they can't help but tell everybody. Amen. I get so excited when I think about church, and I know some people just don't get it. Sometimes I think my family just doesn't get it, but I get so excited about church and about God. I'm like, I can't help myself. I can't contain it. I have to tell somebody. I love the church. And it doesn't matter what church I'm in, what congregation I'm with, I just get this feeling of being connected. One body. Feeling of love. Feeling of purpose. You guys are looking at me like I'm nuts. That may be true. But if I'm nuts, I'm nuts for Jesus. If I'm psycho, I'm psycho for Jesus. There was a song that came out years ago called Jesus Freak. I want to be a Jesus freak. What will people think when I say I'm a Jesus freak? That was the way the song went. What will people say? Some people look at you like that. Like, you're crazy. You're nuts. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to go to that building and gather with people. No, you don't have to do that. Say, well, I guess really, you don't know what you're missing. You don't know what you're missing. I go gather with my family. My family that loves me. My family that prays with me. My family that supports me. My family that holds me up. That's why I go. You know, I have to do a lot of reading. I never would have thought it. I hated reading when I was in school. Hated school altogether, but I love to read now. I've been reading a lot of books over the last year about church growth. And a lot of the books are about becoming bigger, big church. There's a lot of books out there about big church. Not all the books. I've read some really good books about discipleship and small groups, and all that is even more, is better. But, you know, I've been reading about, and I ran across this statement that talked about becoming a big church. And that statement really bothered me, you know, about being a big church. Because to tell you the truth, I don't really think big church is always the best church. You know that 70% of churches in the nation are less than 100 people. Are less than 100 people. And they contribute more money. They make more disciples than any of the big churches. Churches over 5,000 are like 2% in the nation. It's a small number of large mega churches. I don't really think big church is always the best church. I'll tell you what I want the most. I want to be involved in the best church. Here, I want us to, that's what I want us to be. The best church we possibly can be. I would rather improve the quality of the church than the quantity of the church. Because where there's quality, quantity always comes. And I've said that many times before. When you got fertile soil, guess what? Things grow. If you don't have fertile soil, guess what? Things won't grow. So quality is better than quantity. But quantity comes with quality. So I'd say let's work on things together. There's always things for improvement. I have to work on that all the time. It's one of the requirements of being a pastor in the Nazarene Church. Improvement, education, learning more, taking something and making it, try to make it better, improve on myself, doing something wrong. Over and over and over again doesn't make it right, ever. You know, if we improve our relationship with one another and our commitment with one another, God will determine what size we will be. Amen. God will determine that. I've been around this church for many years. I've seen this church like this, and I've seen this church like this, and I've seen this church like this, and it seems like a lot of churches are like that. Over the last 40 years, it's been like this. You know? But I'm going to commit to you this morning, and I will give God my very best. I will be prepared, and I will be prayed up, and I will be studied up and ready for God to work through me. I want quality because quality is where it counts. And that's my commitment to you. And I'm asking you this morning, will you commit that to me? Will you commit that not just to me? But will you commit it to Him? Will you commit it to His church? Will you be the best member that you can be? Will you be the best that you can be? Will you commit to giving your best to God? Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to do what You want me to do and to the best. I know that, Lord, if I seek You, that all knowledge comes from You. Lord, I need You. I need Your Holy Spirit working through me, just as all of us do. Lord, I pray that You give us what we need. Lord, gift us in the ways that You need us gifted so that we may complete Your mission, Lord. This is Your church. We surrender ourselves to You, Lord. Let us become the church that you want us to become. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.